You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
There, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you break free from body shame, binging, and diets that don't work. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you love the show, please take a moment to rate it or review it on Apple Podcasts. I really would appreciate your support. And if you'd like to join me today, the number is 323-203-0815. Once again, the call-in number, 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is what's eating at you. So I've gotten some questions about the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger. So I wanted to start off with just giving you some information about that so that you can discern whether you are eating out of physical hunger or emotional hunger. Hi, Carly Gash. I am speaking also live on Instagram at my new account, The Binge Cure. Yes. Thank you, Carly Gash. The Binge Cure. and please join me there, because I'm also live streaming as I do the show. So physical hunger. Here are some signs that you are physically hungry. You have a growling, gurgling stomach. Oh my gosh, that used to happen with me, with my patients, and it would be like an alien was about to burst out of my stomach. People would literally say, "Are you hungry?" Feeling lightheaded, getting, and by the way, that alien out of a stomach thing is, if you don't know it, it is a reference to Alien, the movie Alien, in case you think I'm weird. I mean, I am weird, but I'm not that weird. So growling stomach, not an alien, getting a headache. Those are all physical symptoms, right? When physical hunger is physical, right? You feel it in your body. Whereas emotional hunger is located more in your mind than in your body. So emotional hunger is when something looks good or sounds good, or you want to calm down or you want to feel better. So emotional hunger is anytime you are eating to change the way you emotionally feel. So that is the difference between emotional hunger and physical hunger. And by the way, a lot of people eat to feel more energized. So it isn't exactly emotional hunger, but it's eating for the wrong reasons. When you are tired, if you are eating to wake up, oh, thank you, Carly Gash. Hi, Josh. Hi, Christina. Hi, everyone on Instagram. Glad you found me. If you're eating to wake up or to calm down, that means that you are using food to affect the way you physically feel, right? If you are tired and you're eating a lot of sugar to wake yourself up, well, you're giving yourself the wrong thing. What you need is to give yourself some rest. Even a little 10-minute catnap, right? Even something as little as that can really help you, as opposed to perking yourself up with sugar. If you are eating to calm down, and a lot of times people eat very carby things because they're anxious and they just want to calm down, then you have to find other ways to calm down. One of the ways that I think is really effective is to calm down your body. Thank you, Carly Gash. I'll be right with you. Sorry, Sam, I have some mental block against looking at that. Okay, Carly Gash, hold on. When you when you tighten up all your muscles, the progressive muscle relaxation, and then you relax, that is an excellent way to calm your body down. Carly Gash, welcome to the show. And I'm sorry I didn't see Sam letting me know that you were there.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Good morning. No problem.
Hi, Carly Gash.
Do you hear me well?
Can you speak up just a little bit?
That's my max. Does it sound better?
That's better. That's better. Yeah.
Thank you. So good to see you, Dr. Nina. Oh, my God. You just made my day. I was so, like, glum, grumpy. And I was, like, in this, you know, mental space where brain is so slimy, covered with, like, spider webs and doesn't want to wake up and just very depressed and very sad. But then I turned on your Instagram live show and just seeing you talking about differences about the hunger, seeing your smiling face, cheerful, happy tone, you know, healthy. Actually, you just made me feel good. So what I want to discuss today is these days I'm doing my best to be in tune with my emotions. It's very challenging for me because I do have a tendency to escape them, like escape, or maybe numb them, avoid feeling feelings, or like I always, whenever I tell myself, okay, what am I feeling right now? Many times I get this answer from my inner critic, like, it's not important, you know, it's next time, or it's not next time, it's like, it's not important what are you feeling, you know, like always like this not important. And
Carly Gash, hold on. What do you notice about when you say, what am I feeling? What am
like
I
you,
feeling?
Yes, you critical
you,
voice.
What you are feeling is not important. So that is always a sign for you that what, so when you, Carly Gash, speak to yourself from a second person place, that is a sign that you are being harsh, critical, dismissive, or some identification with the family members that treated you that way. And remember that come from an I place. So what am I feeling? What are you feeling?
I feel so angry, Dr. Nina. I mean, I'm angry at the situation. I'm very happy that I'm progressing and liberating and working with you. And now I'm more aware of what's going on around me, inside me. And like, I'm still like very angry at the situation that I grew up among people who were unable to be in tune with their own emotions in the first place. And then kind of modeled me this very crooked way of being, which doesn't work and it makes me suffer. And I'm very happy that I'm getting aware, but right now I'm mourning all this 37 years of wasted on this, like, suffering. And at the same time, I noticed recently that, Dr. Nina, I 3 days in a row, I talked to three different people. So first day, my mom, second day, one of my, like, exes, and yesterday, like, a new friend. So mom and ex, just, you know, I talked to them, and after talking to them, I was so devastated. Like, I didn't feel good. I couldn't work. The 3 days I cannot work. After talking to them, I didn't feel good. And my ex, like, he's a replica of my mom. Like, he is exactly dismissing, manipulative. And my head hurt, Dr. Nina.
I'm glad that you're recognizing that talking to these people was really, it sounds like, very draining and upsetting to you.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like you're really there for other people. But if only you could be there for yourself and be as available to yourself as you are to others, what an amazing difference that would be.
When I try to, like, kind of be there for myself, because sometimes I do have this thought. I have your voice in my head saying, Can you be attentive and kind to yourself the way you are to others? And I'm trying to be like, considerate of my, how I feel physically, how I feel emotionally about my needs. And then I have this nasty voice and the feeling that it's kind of selfish. I remember your book. I'm listening to it every day. Every day your book is on repeat, The Finch Cure. And I remember this chapter about selflessness and self being selfish and self-care. Yeah. But when I'm trying to do self-care, I just feel guilty, you know.
Okay, so let me address that.
I get scared.
Let me address that. Let me just say, for those of you who have not read the book or aren't familiar, I just want to recap what you're talking about. So selfish is when it's all about me. I don't care about you. That's selfish. Selfless is it's all about you. I don't care about me. You matter. I don't matter. Both of these are extremes, and they're not healthy ways of being in the world. So a lot of times it feels like if you're not being selfless, you're being selfish. But in the middle is self-care, which is sometimes it's about you and sometimes it's about me. And that you matter too. I matter too, and you matter. But sometimes you're going to choose your well-being over giving, sacrificing yourself to make someone else happy. So I suspect that you feel guilty because for you, even though you intellectually know self-care exists, you feel if you're not being selfless that you're being selfish. That you don't matter, that you have no rights, that it's all about taking care of other people.
Yeah, and then I have like anger. Yeah, you will not be happy that I get angry at myself for not being able to take care of myself, you know, in my own head, not being able to be kind to myself. Although I know I need to be compassionate to myself and say that it's not easy for me because nobody told me to do that. And of course, like automatically, I have this past reaction.
What is my very technique? And remember, it is you need to vary the way that you respond to yourself. So what does vary stand for? I know you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Validate, acknowledge, reassure yourself. Okay. Now I figured out because I kind of was stuck when... So I progressed to the point where I do recognize my feelings. Then I progressed to the point that I need to be kinder to myself. And then I couldn't be kind to myself. And then I got angry with myself. This is where I stuck. Now I know
that's
that when
against you. I get... Okay, let me help. Let me help. What you're talking about is turning against yourself. So rather than say, oh, I am really angry at the situation and I felt so helpless and I was born into a family that couldn't respond to me appropriately and couldn't take care of me, then you get mad at yourself for not being able to change. And now the anger that really belongs to other people or situations gets turned on yourself. That's attacking yourself. Mm-hmm. Then you just want to binge to get away from your own mean voice. Because when we attack ourselves, mm-hmm. we make ourselves feel bad and want to, right? That's the boomerang effect that you might have heard me talk about. When you take mm-hmm. anger, it goes outward and you direct it towards yourself. And that is when you have to really be to yourself as you are to anybody else. You would never tell anybody else, you have no right to feel that way. You should be mad at yourself because you know better and you can't make it happen. You would never say that. You have to say something mm-hmm. along the lines of, I am learning how to process this and I am not going to attack myself. I am learning how to express myself. I am learning how to change just because I know it intellectually and rationally doesn't mean I'm going to be able to change right away. In fact, that is one of the mm-hmm. hardest things to deal with when you're in treatment or reading the book or, you know, anything else is when you know what you know and you are enlightened. And you get it mm-hmm. logically, but it doesn't yet resonate psychologically, when what you know and what you feel are totally misaligned. But that's where it takes practice. And you're not giving yourself the room to learn this new way. You keep interrupting the learning by attacking yourself.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I understood my next step. So when I get stuck and get angry with myself not being able to be kind, I will just use very, and I will progress further. Because, yes, like you said, just knowing intellectually that I need to be kind to myself is one thing. Now I need to kind of deepen it into my psyche and make it feel, which is totally different experience just from knowing. You know, I need to make it sink into my feeling, understanding, knowing. And it takes time. Like you said, I will keep reminding myself that it's a process. Because, see, I get angry because in my family, when I was a kid, nobody gave me time to learn. I was given a task and I was expected to perform at the most excellent level. Not even that, better than others. Right away. So I never had time to actually sit and develop the skill. That's why I treat myself this way sometimes with this critical voice. But just after talking to them, I understand that, hey, that's normal. I'm really building something which never existed in my brain, in my psyche. It's a new thing. It's a challenging thing. It's not something you write in the book and you say, oh, there is a mistake. It's something non-tangible. It's challenging to navigate it in the first place. So, yeah, maybe just giving myself time without rushing myself. And I like it. I think I can do it. I think I can progress with this kind of approach.
I know you can. I have total faith and belief in you. I know you can, Carly Gash. And what you just did was you just discovered some self-compassion. So
thank you, Dr. Nina. I like it.
Yes, it feels much better than attacking yourself and being mad at yourself.
Yes, exactly. It feels way better, way better.
Yes. So practice makes progress. Okay, just keep remembering what you just said. I'm going to give myself permission to learn this new way of being. I'm learning something. And it's not going to be overnight. And I'm going to keep practicing it. And you'll see. It's going to change.
Thank you so much for the support, Dr. Nina, and for your kind voice, which models a new attitude to myself and my head. I really appreciate it. And I'm so happy that you're out there. And I'm very grateful for all the help and generous love and tools you're giving to us. It's priceless. I'm very grateful. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you, Carly Gash. That made me happy. So happy. Oh. Let me know how it goes. Okay. Thank you, Carly Gash. Be curious, not critical, okay?
I will. Thank you, Dr. Nina. Take care.
Bye. Bye. Oh, I just want to say, in relation to what you know and what you feel being out of sync, I like to use, one of the metaphors I like to use is that of learning to play an instrument. So when you learn to play the piano, you know what finger goes with what key, and you know, or you learn what reading music, what that you're reading goes to which finger to which key. You know it, but that does not translate into just sitting down at the piano and playing. No, it does not. You have to practice and practice and practice. And if you discourage yourself by saying, what's the matter with you? You know which keys go with which fingers. Why aren't you playing? Well, you're never going to learn to play the piano because you're going to feel so discouraged and so bad and so terrible. But if you say, okay, I'm just going to keep going. New caller, hold on. I'm just going to keep going. You will absolutely learn with practice how to play better and better and better. And then one day it becomes second nature. Okay. Hi, new caller. What's your name? Who is this?
This is Sarah.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Sarah. How can I help you? What's going on?
First, I just want to thank you for your book. I finished reading it about 3 weeks ago and already lost 10 pounds already. So, and wow. I didn't even realize I had emotional eating until I read your book. So you did a great job on putting the two together. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
You are so welcome. And I am delighted to hear that that my book brought you not only insight, but clearly some changes. So wonderful. Yay.
Yeah. First time in a long time I felt that way. So yes, thank you. As I was reading your book though, I was going, not even realizing I had emotional eating. I like to have a whole page of stuff from my past and current that I think is related to food or how I talk. I liked your section on how you should talk to other people to emphasize with empathy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm doing it while I'm, if I want to overeat or if I want to binge. But on this older stuff that I figured out I still have to work through, do I do that with your, with the same things, which is like validate, acknowledge, that type of thing? Or should I wait until I have another issue and then deal with them then?
I think it's always good to heal the past so that it doesn't come up and create another issue. And one of the things when we talk about the past is it's not so much about the past. People often say, oh, but I was in therapy for 20 years talking about the past and nothing ever changed. And my answer is, of course it didn't change because you're not recognizing how your past is influencing your present. That's the missing piece usually. So keep in mind, as you process what happened, how did you internalize it? Maybe you just heard Carly Gash's call in which the way she talks to herself in second person is very reminiscent of her mean family. So she's not living with her mean family. She's in a different country, but her mean family is with her in her mind. So recognizing, how have you been affected by the past is so crucial to healing.
In my family, we always stuffed it or didn't, or I showed no emotion at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and with so my way I deal with emotion? It is different.
Pardon? Sorry, I cut you off.
So would the way I handle it be different than one who is critical or their parents were critical or hard on yourself? Because I don't feel I'm that way.
No. So for you, okay. So Carly Gash's example was that she was criticized and judged and all of that. So she has become critical and judgmental of herself. You didn't have that. You just had the message of, if you feel something, just stuff it down, literally or figuratively, or don't feel it at all. Is that
right? Yeah.
And therefore, what happens to those feelings? And that's where we can get so good at dissociating from our experience that we don't even know we're feeling something. That's why I created my food mood formula in the book to help you recognize what's going on inside. You might not realize you're angry because you're eating, a bunch of tortilla chips. You might not realize that you're sad or you need comfort because if you're eating ice cream, that's a sign and so forth. So what comes to mind about that?
I definitely eat for comfort and also for boredom. And I think it's just because I'm not dealing with it. I'm just there. And that always bugged me because I knew something was causing this. I just didn't know what was causing it, And I think it's not dealing with my feelings, but I'm not sure how to work with these old feelings, to do it now? You know, what process do I need to follow to do that?
Okay, so I want you, so first you use the food mood formula to figure out what are the feelings or conflicts or needs that you are dealing with. So when you say you're bored, maybe you're bored. The answer to boredom is to do something. Often we think we're bored when we're really feeling lonely or empty. So the first step is use the food mood formula to figure out what is going on within, and then go to page 45 of the book, which has a bunch of prompts for many different emotions, and they go from sort of benign to more intense for each of the emotion, and finish the sentences because we have to start expressing. Yeah. So first you identify it and then you express it. I'm go to page 45. So for example, what do you think you, let's say sadness. I'm like, you would finish the sentence. Let's say I'm unhappy. How would you finish that? If you feel comfortable.
I'm unhappy because, I'm trying to use a good example. I don't have one in my head. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sad.
I'm unhappy when I was ignored by my father. You know, that really bothered me when I was a kid. He didn't know how to relate to me. He related to my brothers, but not to me. So I never got the attention from him that I deserved. See, this is one of those old ones that you can tell I'm getting emotional already because I never dealt with that in my past.
Of course.
You know, but it must still be there if I'm feeling emotional about it, right?
Yes, of course. When we grow up, especially when we see that some siblings, like maybe that it's a sign of gender preference or whatever, or maybe your father could just relate better to your brothers. But
yeah, I think that was it.
As kids, we don't say, oh, my dad has some gender preference and he can relate better to my brothers because he can find himself in them. And that's why he's treating them in a way that he's different than he's treating me. We're incapable of thinking that. What we say is they're getting something I'm not getting. And then we make an interpretation. What does that mean about me? I must not be good enough. I must be too much. I must be, or whatever the interpretation is, which is painful. It's hurtful.
Yes.
Yeah. And is there anything?
Just saying it out loud and acknowledging it. And then I think on my little, I have a little card in front of me too that I put when I start thinking these things. Is that when you reassure and give yourself sweet words? Is that how you're, because I'm not used to dealing with emotion. So is that how I'm dealing with it?
So first you express it. And what you just expressed, you know, you express with feeling. I mean, I can feel how painful that was. I can feel it, right? How, I mean, my heart goes out to you. And you could feel it too. So you just expressed some sadness and some unhappiness about this treatment. Then, now the mistake that most people make is they go right to the reassurance. Oh, but it didn't mean he didn't love you. Oh, but you're lovable. Oh, but, and they miss the most important part of the VERY technique, which is the way you respond, which is to validate and acknowledge. It really should be acknowledge and validate, but that doesn't quite work with the acronym, but they kind of go together. So you acknowledge and validate. Yes, of course that's hurtful. Who wouldn't be hurt? Whose feelings wouldn't be hurt if her father was giving her brother's attention and wasn't giving her attention? Anyone in that position would be hurt. That's very painful. Of course it is. And?
Okay, so that's the stuff I'm skipping or not spending enough time on to make sure I do that. Is that correct?
Exactly. And then you reassure yourself, you know, but it didn't mean anything about me, but it was about him being able to relate better to my brothers. And, you know, I'm a lovable, you know, likable, wonderful person. It doesn't reflect who I, the way my father treated me does not reflect my lack of lovability or likability, you know, that, but first you've got to really honor, oh, ouch, that hurt. Of course it hurt.
Yeah. And I guess I wasn't doing that because I, at all. So I will start doing that and really feel it until I learn how to do this.
Yeah, you learn. Look, you learn not to feel it, but we don't.
I've learned not to feel it. That is definitely an issue with my family.
And now you're learning to feel it because what you feel, you will heal. And when you are healed, that you're not walking around with that open wound within that food takes you away from.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. Please call back and let me know how you're doing. And if you want to practice some of that, you know, expression of feelings, or if you have any more insights, I welcome them. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you. And thank you for writing the book and helping us do this. I actually went to several psychologists in the last 5 or 10 years, and they never were able to tie. They just say feel things, and I didn't know how to do that. And so it didn't really work. But with all your examples in the book, and tying it to food, which I never did before, it just, I mean, I could write a whole page on my feelings. And I really appreciate that because you really go a step further. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Take good care. You stay curious, not critical as well. And please, please call me back and let me know how you're doing.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh. Well, didn't that just make day? And by the way, you know, what Sarah is going through is so common because we live, hold on, Josh, I'm going to get to your question. We live in a world that says, don't feel your feelings. I mean, this is a cultural and societal problem. If you're, you know, if you're angry, oh, you're an angry person. Ooh, bad. Not you're angry because something's happening in your life. If you're sad, you're depressed, you got to take a pill. Some people are depressed. It is true. But sadness is also part of the normal human experience. If you're anxious, there's a pill for that too. Right? We just don't allow ourselves to, as a society, as a culture, to have responses to situations. Because we're told we're weak if we feel and express our feelings, and we're strong if we don't. So what the heck happens to our feelings? We suppress them, stuff them, starve them. You know, the book I wrote with my mentor, Beyond the Primal Addiction, talks about all these addictions, and I don't like the word addiction, but that's the name of the book, that are all ways
Dr.
of
Nina,
coping
hello.
And distracting,
hello.
whether you're distracting with food or sex or gambling or shopping or the internet or whatever.
Hello.
These are all things we talk about in the book, that these are
Dr.
all ways
Nina.
Of coping with our inner world. And we got to get
hey,
more
Dr.
interested
Nina.
In our inner world and not make it so scary. Feelings are just reactions to situations. They are not character flaws. And by the way, it takes a lot of strength to feel them.
Hello.
So whoever came up with the idea that you're weak if you feel your feelings and strong if you don't, it's the opposite. It takes strength to work through uncomfortable reactions and emotions. Okay, Josh, what are we starving ourselves of and why? Well, I think that is a question that is really only to be answered on an individual basis. You know, because people are starved of different things for different reasons, just as people turn to food for different reasons. People ask me all the time, what is it like to, oh, did someone just call me and I didn't see it? It happened again. I have a mental block. Caller,
hello?
If you're there, I don't know if that was.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina. I am so sorry.
It's okay. I know. You mentioned to Carly Gash it happened. Thank you for catching that.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And I just wanted to thank Carly Gash and Sarah for calling in, because I am right there with them in terms of I'm learning so much. And actually, this is a call just to fill you in on where I'm at and just to let you know I am employing a lot of your techniques. And I have been doing it for a few years, but sometimes it all just sort of comes together. And it's like, this really works. I'm shocked with how well it works. And I know Sarah mentioned her weight loss, and I've had so many things happen over the past few years, health-related, deaths in the family, and I've stayed the same weight, and that is amazing, and it's fantastic, and I'm not engaging in any harmful food behaviors. And I'm eating when I'm hungry, and I'm stopping when I'm full. And I just wanted to say thank you. I don't know if the audience knows, but, you know, over the past years, I had everything from my dad passed away, my dog passed away. I had a huge car accident with head and neck injury and chronic pain, and so many doctors and neurologists and physical therapists. You know, I was on an antidepressant for a short time. I've been off of it for months now. It turns out that was actually adding to my chronic pain. So when I stopped it, the chronic pain, myofascial pain syndrome, stopped. Anyway, so many things have been going on, but I just wanted to say I employed the really positive self-talk, just catching myself when I'm noticing how damaging my inner self was being to me, and by trying to speak in the first person and just being curious. And I love the validate, acknowledge, reassure yourself. You can see I've been, you know, using a lot of these things, and just speaking with people and talking about my emotions. And I just appreciated the last call, which really went into how to work through emotions, because you hear that term constantly, and people, at least for me, I'm like, what do you do? How do you do that? And, you know, I started with your group years ago, but I have just been following along and just realizing, like you said, it takes a long time to learn new skills. And if it helps once, that was great. That opened the door. I'm like, oh, wow. I felt this feeling and I didn't go to the food. Anyway, this was not meant to be a monologue, but I wanted to just check in and say, even my husband has noticed. I used to in the past not allow certain foods in the house because I was afraid I would binge on them or go to them. He's like, you let me get anything that I want. And like our kitchen is full of food, all different types. It's food, because I go now, if I find myself wanting to reach for something, and I'll finish, I go to, oh, what's really going on? What's this emotion that I'm feeling? And sometimes it does start with a physical issue, and then I'm like, okay, wait a minute. It's not the stomach ache. What might be causing the stomach ache that is an emotion? Anyway, wow, I just had to check in. I know I have a lot more to learn, but it has been a miracle as an athlete to have had all of these chronic issues, and I couldn't work out, and I've maintained a healthy, great weight. And like I said, even before, I would be like, that's not a great, it's a great weight. It's a great size. It's so thank you. I don't have too many questions for you, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, Christina, first of all, don't apologize for sharing your success and your how you've overcome your challenges. Never apologize for that. That was not a monologue. That was you sharing and inspiring other people, making me super happy, but inspiring other people, because, you know, when people hear about other people's success and other people's challenges, it is inspiring. It is helpful. So by sharing your story and all that you've overcome and all that you've realized, when you just said you can keep whatever food in the house, it doesn't matter. I am sure there are people out there going, I can't even imagine such a thing. when I was right. in my full on, you know, eating disorder before I got help and never talked about my eating disorder, but it cured mm-hmm. it, liberated me from it. I couldn't imagine it. What? Something with a carb in the house? No, impossible. Well, when you share that, you give hope to other people. And the best part of it is how you're more interested in yourself, how you're taking your own side, and how you're really clearly encouraging yourself. And that's just so beautiful. And it's so, so inspiring and makes me so happy to hear.
Thank you. And yes, the changes are small yet massive. And I was one of those people. I was doing quite a while back, that intermittent fasting. And I simply flipped to, I'm going to eat when I'm hungry. And even my husband noticed, it might have been 10:30 in the morning. Like, it's nice to have a schedule, and I normally eat very regularly, but there are some days, some times of the month, whatever it may be, I'm hungry. I need more calories for whatever reason. So that intermittent fasting has gone bye-bye because Yay. I feel I absolutely deserve food, and I eat when I'm hungry. And like I said, it's normally on a schedule, but it's okay if I'm hungry at a random time, because what I found was I'll eat, and guess what? I don't need to overeat and I don't need to undereat, because that's the time to eat. So it's giving myself permission to live, and God forbid, to enjoy food, to enjoy it. Not just, like you said, the fuel. It's an enjoyable thing. My husband and I think I mentioned it the other day, we went, had our 19th anniversary. We went and enjoyed a wonderful meal with exactly what I wanted at a Mexican restaurant. And it was non-anxiety provoking and just fun and enlightening. And I didn't worry about calories, or my body can take care of itself. It knows exactly what to do. We have the best machines in the world. And it took me really a long time to reprogram. I think what I learned, you know, things that were damaging that I learned in my family, like with Sarah and those past traumas to overcome. And it's okay if they pop up again, those feelings or those situations. It takes as long as it takes to work through whatever situation.
And the situations may not change, but we can absolutely change the way we relate to and respond to those situations.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so thank you. And I would love to call back again. I know life will happen and challenges will happen, but thank you for this great tool belt. And I hope to call you back soon.
I look forward to talking with you, and I'm so glad you called, and I'm sorry that I'm going to train myself. Actually look at when Sam is saying, caller is waiting, and so I'm sorry I was talking on and on and on and didn't see that, but I'm so glad that
but it was great because you're on Instagram, so you saw it there, so that was wonderful.
Exactly. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. Talk to you soon. Love your show. I will write you a review as you mentioned the beginning. So yes, everyone write positive reviews for Dr. Nina. She has life-changing tools. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Christina. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, I just feel so blessed today that people are calling and really sharing the shifts and the changes that they're making in their lives. By the way, Christina is a member of the Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community group on Facebook. So if you would like to be in that group, I think we've got 800, I think we're like around 900 people all over the world. Please join. Just search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, Outsmart Emotional Eating, and you can join other people who are working on this, who are interested in changing their way of being with themselves and therefore with food. Because remember, eating or binging or stress eating or any kind of emotional eating is the solution to the problem. It is not the problem. And as Sarah was saying, how do you know the problem if you get so good at not figuring out that you're feeling anything. And again, go to my food mood formula. I'm about to recap it. For those of you who know it, you cannot hear it enough. And for those of you who don't know it, it's going to help you a lot. And if you want an actual little guidebook, you can go to my website, drninainc.com, and sign up and get a copy of the food mood formula workbook. So basically, it's this. If you don't know what you're feeling, but you're turning to ice cream to resolve something emotional, I'm not talking about, ooh, it's dessert, let's have ice cream. I'm talking about, I'm devastated with something, what's in the freezer, and you know, you can't stop eating it. That's a sign of needing comfort. And so then you have to learn ways of comforting yourself with words instead of comfort food, even though we kind of think of comfort food as more like, you know, pastas and stuff like that. Those filling foods, whether it's pasta or pizza or cake or muffins and things like that, those are associated with filling a void. And filling a void means that you're symbolically filling a void. There's something missing in your life. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe there's something else that's unfulfilling. Even look at the language. You know, we're unfulfilled. It sort of speaks in a roundabout, indirect way to a full, you know, we're not being filled. Unfulfilled, and that goes to like our appetites, right? So maybe you have an appetite for life, and it's not being some area of your life, and it's not being rewarded. What are those? What are the voids in your life? Look at that and find new ways to meet those. And anything crunchy, whether it's chips or pretzels or just anything with a bite, that is associated with anger. And again, it's not, hey, I'm going to have Doritos with my sandwich. It's I am going to eat that. So because I can't stop eating the family size bag of Doritos, right? That's what I'm talking about. Then you want to look at, well, what in your life is making you angry? And instead of turning that anger against yourself for eating, or instead of symbolically biting down on crunchy foods, express it. Again, page 45, express your feelings. Once you identify the feelings to the food mood formula, express them, speak them, and then use the vary technique. Then validate. Yeah. Of course I'm mad. This is going on. Who else wouldn't be mad in my situation? But I'm not going to feel this way forever, etc. So those are some tips for you to help identify what's going on with the food mood formula. And then the next step, of course, is to express it, to speak it. And by the way, I am not talking about speaking it like this. Oh, I'm very angry because of this. That is thinking your anger, or I'm very sad about that. That is thinking your anger. I mean, thinking your sadness, thinking your emotions. You can't think away your feelings. You can only feel them. So anger is, I'm so mad about the. Or sad is, oh my God, I'm so sad about this, right? When you actually express it, when you express it, you get rid of it. What we feel, it sounds so counterintuitive that the only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them. How do we do that? We express them with words, and then we respond to ourselves. A lot of people say, well, I know I've got to sit in my feelings. Oh, no, that sounds horrible. Who wants to sit in your feelings? Ooh, like a really tepid bath. Ugh. Sounds awful. No, you do not have to sit in your feelings. You do not have to sit with your feelings. Sitting with your feelings is horrible. And you want to avoid sitting with your feelings. Of course you do. You got to express the feelings. Express them. Speak them. Put words to them. And then respond to yourself. And that feels a lot better when you're just left with speaking all this anger. You just kind of feel, ugh, then you have to, then that's why the responding part is really important. Yeah, of course I'm mad. Who wouldn't be mad? Right? So, and the val, as Sarah was saying, she's missing the validating and acknowledging part. We tend to dismiss by trying to help, but we end up dismissing. Oh, it's okay. It's not that bad. It could be worse. You're good. You're no, it's hell yeah, you feel that. Of course you do. That's the part that's missing. And if you practice that, you're going to feel a lot better. Oh my gosh. That is our show for today. That went really fast. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio and on Instagram. If you would like to join the Food for Thought community, head over to Facebook and join us, and you'll find a very welcoming community full of people who get it and who are trying to create the same changes that you are. And I'm there too to answer you and respond. And occasionally I even do lives there. So check it out. And again, if you like the show, as Christina said, Christina, thank you so much. Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating or a review for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. Thank you. Be curious, not critical. Be kind to yourselves. You deserve it. And here's a big hug from me. Have a great week, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.